Mel, I'm saving. I cannot be with somebody like this. You don't love me.
I'll take care of the child.
You don't love me. This is not somebody who loves me. This is some completely off-balance person who absolutely hates me. Why do you hate me so much? What did I do to you? Everything you say about me is bullshit. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. And I only left to save. It's bullshit. You ruined my life, and you didn't give me a penny.
First, I ruined your life. How did I ruin your life? I gave you shit. You gave me nothing but fucking grief. All right? And bad publicity, you cunt. How did I ruin your life?
You destroyed my reputation, and you're the meanest person I know. You're the meanest person.
What?
You're very mean.
Yeah, you know what mean is now, don't you?
You've always been.
So don't call me mean.
You're very jealous and you're very mean.
Because I like to show you what mean really is. Bitch, gun, whore, gold digger. All true. You fucking proved it to me. If you're ever interested in proving otherwise, let me know. If you don't care, I know you know what you are too. Look at yourself and look at you. Look what you fucking done. Look at your son. He's a fucking mess. You fucking excuse for a mother. You're a fucking bitch.
You're the worst father I ever met. Goodbye.
We'll do it live.
Okay. Broadcasting from downtown Los Angeles.
We'll do it live. Fuck it.
It's the More Music Radio Pod.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
On skidrow.la.
Fucking thing sucks!
10, 5, 4, 3.
What's going on, everybody? It's the More Music Radio Pod on skidrow.la and skidrowstudios.com. All right, welcome to the show. Tonight we have special guest Ken August from the Weekly Wrap-Up and Bad Advice. You hear it here on Skid Row Studios. Thank you for coming, man.
Oh, man, pumped to be here.
Hell yeah.
A little pissed it took this long. Dude, those... Seriously, I don't know who does your clips.
Uh-huh.
Holy shit, those were awesome.
Whoever does them is a genius, right?
Yeah, that is...
really good at doing it, at least. Maybe not a genius, but...
Well, you know what? For this story, we'll go with genius.
Okay.
I'll go with genius. I mean, you're gonna bring me out to a little angry Mel Gibson? Like, that was fantastic. I mean, that was... It seemed like overacting, which is even better. Like, that was...
Yeah, well, he is an actor. He is kind of overacting, too. Dude, that's what makes an actor a good actor, right? Kind of overact a little bit?
Well, except you would think, like, that's his real life, and that performance seemed to suck. Like, if you saw that performance in a movie with the breathing and all that shit, you'd be like, this guy's brutal.
I like that breathing was pretty crazy,
right?
What's
going on with him? He had to be on something. He had to be on something more than just hate.
There was something on his brain. Something that's fermenting his brain.
That had to be one of the best collapses of, I mean, he was so loved, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, everybody fucking hates
him. Oh, no, people still love him, though.
Who?
Jodie Foster was hanging out with him, remember?
That's true. When she came out of the closet, that was already wide open with a glass door.
Just like when Rosie O'Donnell came out of the closet, too.
You're like,
Because I really believed her when she said she was in love with Tom Cruise.
Well, yes, a lesbian being in love with a gay guy seems to help a lot. That helps.
Allegedly.
Yes.
Or supposedly.
Sure. We'll go with both.
Yeah, man. So, like I said, this is Ken August of the Weekly Wrap-Up, and you do a show here every, what is it? Is it Saturdays now?
It is every Saturdays now at 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock Pacific time.
Mm-hmm.
We do Bad Advice right before that. I think they figured, you know what, just keep my lazy ass here so I don't have to come back 2 days and limits my opportunity of missing stuff. And then they rebroadcast a Weekly Wrap-Up on Extreme XM 165.
Oh, yeah, you guys are like on Sirius. I like to say Sirius. I know it's Sirius XM, But since this isn't going over Sirius or Sirius XM, I'm going to call it Sirius.
You know what? This is your show. You came with the great clips. You can call whatever the fuck you want. They play it on Sirius. We'll call it Sirius Extreme XM 165 every Sunday at 10 o'clock Eastern and 7 o'clock.
Wow. How's it feel to have your show on Sirius Satellite Radio?
It feels almost exactly as it did right before I was on Sirius Radio. Almost exactly. It's great, man. It is a lot of fun. I love doing the shows. I love doing both shows. Yeah. You know, it's been great being over here at Skid Row. There's a bunch of guys. I'm like I said, I'm pissed it took this long to be able to get here to do this one.
Yeah. Don't be pissed at me. I was begging you to come on.
It's mostly my fault, but I got to blame one of us, and I'm going to blame you in this case. But I mean, you're one of the originals. You were one of the originals right here. Are you not? Are you the original?
We're the second show.
And what,
the second show.
Is the first show
the
already
first
gone?
Show was La Frost and Moe show. La Frost, or Claudia, as we call her, from 8-Bit, and her boyfriend had a, it's kind of like a punk rock show. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they would have, you know, guests come in and stuff. Pretty much, very similar to this. It was a music show. And
you ran her out of business, didn't you?
No, not necessarily.
You
I
ran
mean,
her
just
right
came
the fuck
in.
Out of business.
No, you know, sometimes people get in a big argument and then they don't do a radio show here anymore.
Let's not, does
you know,
happen.
Yeah, let's not bullshit about it. I guess that's what happens, you know.
Really? Did that happen on the air?
It didn't happen on the air. It's just, I mean, and I like those guys. Like, they were really cool. La Frost and Mo. Moses is a really cool dude. I mean, I didn't get to really know him that well, you know. But you know how things happen. People get into like disagreements and stuff. And it's not like anybody's like, we're not like professional radio people. Like we don't have managerial skills or anything like that, you know, how to deal with people skills, you know.
I don't do. I don't run into a lot of people between my living room and my kitchen. Yeah. And when I'm not doing these two shows, I don't go anywhere.
But I mean, I don't want to make it sound worse than it was. It was just one of those things, you know, they did their show and it was good and they just decided they didn't want to do it anymore. And you know, it's all good.
What I'm taking from this story is there was a huge blow up, possibly on the air, and there may be some sort of hidden.
That would be cool if it was on the air.
That'd be fantastic.
There was actually something that was really cool that was on the air, and I was on another. And this is when I mean it's almost not even 2 years that I'm doing a radio show. I don't know how to do a radio show or how to act or anything.
You got us fooled, my man.
So. Anyway, like it was really cool on one time I went on the Piñata Hour. Do you remember the Piñata Hour?
I do remember, yes.
And that was when it was back over at Jeremy's place over there on 6th or 6th and Spring. And
so shows didn't end. People just died at that point in time.
Yeah.
You'd find like a host. You're like, why? He hasn't been showing up. You find him in the closet dead for like 3 weeks.
No, you would wish people died during Art Walk, you know? That's where you wish a death on all the people down there, making it a fucking hassle for you to get to the fucking place. But there's been like a lot of cool things that have happened, like me opening my big mouth and that stuff didn't air, you know?
Really?
Yeah. I've noticed that I tend to make people angry sometimes.
Good for you.
You know?
Good for you. You know what? Either I catch you at the right moment.
Right.
Or you just haven't found the right button to push on me.
No, you know what it is.
You seem unbelievably pleasant to me.
No, I mean, I like people who are straightforward and just like not phony and just being themselves and stuff. That's why I don't have a problem with you. I could tell that you're
I'm too stupid to lie.
Yeah. And you say what's on your mind.
Yes. You know what? To your defense, that gets me in trouble a lot.
Yeah.
There are times when I will know, and not generally here, not for the most part. I haven't had too much experience at Skid Row, bad experience.
Well,
I
saw something that, I don't know if I really want to mention it right now. I saw something that happened that when people get upset and stuff. Sometimes when you work with people, you get upset. You know, you might like
or
come
you
in.
You got to bring it now.
Yeah.
You got to bring it now. Was it me? Was I involved?
Maybe we'll talk about it later.
Was I involved?
Yeah, you were involved.
Ah, oh, fuck. Well, maybe you shouldn't talk about it.
It wasn't that big of a deal, right?
That wasn't, you know, early on, Jeremy sent me, I mean, this is very early on. He sent me an email.
Where is Jeremy at?
He had other shit to do. He takes off. I think he can only take me in small doses.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what I think about me too. Like, you know, it's kind of like,
you can only take me in small doses.
No. I can take enough dosage right now. Like this is a good dose. It's a good steady flow. It's like a good drip, you know?
He sent me an email once early on in my working here, and it was like two pages of just the most hateful shit you could ever read. It was just like, you fucking blow. It was like two pages of that, and I'm like, who? What? Damn. Is this a relative? What is this? Who sent me that? No, it's Jeremy. He doesn't know me well enough to know this is all accurate. It sucked, dude. I was like, what the fuck? And then wow. The next morning, I'm expecting like...
What did you do? How did you rub him the wrong way? What happened?
I must have. I think I get a little enthusiastic coming into things sometimes.
Yeah.
And so he's busy doing other shit and trying to balance a bunch of stuff. And he has my nagging little ass going, hey, hey, why don't you do this? Hey, why don't you do that? Now, to my defense, he probably tuned most of that out. So I probably wasn't as annoying as I could have been if he listened to me for most of the time. But he, I think after a while, he was drinking and stressed out about other shit and went, hey, you know what? This is all coming at you, dude. And I read that. I was like, holy shit. First of all, it's a punishment enough to make me read an email that long. You're like, what the fuck? And then, you know, tweet it to me in like 9 words. I'm fine with. But I read this thing, and then the next morning, I'm like, man, now I got to have this conversation where I got to call and be like, dude, how do you fucking hate me that much in a short period of time? And I wake up, and there's an email. It's just like, sorry, dude, was drunk. You're like, well, all right. Okay, fair enough.
How many times could you use that excuse, that I was drunk excuse? That's like a 3 striker, right?
Well, it depends. Are you using it with a friend or are you using it with a
Because I know people who
girlfriend?
use that excuse. No, I mean, I'm saying like, you know, your friends would be like, oh man, I didn't know what I was doing and I'm sorry I was acting like that. Like I got a friend of mine who sometimes he gets a little heavy in the drink. And, you know, like
heavy in the drink is a good phrase.
He gets a little combative, a little competitive and stuff, you know?
You know what? Here's the thing is you can use that. It depends who you are. Certain people get away with that shit so often that it's who they are. They're like, oh, well, that's Jimmy. He stepped in a pile of shit and dragged it all over the house. Right. Oh, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know, somebody else, they get drunk once and do something annoying. You're like, oh, I'm going to punch that.
Well, see, that I hope that that's true. And I've been waiting for that to kind of kick in all these years and me kind of being an asshole or maybe not really thinking things out before I open my mouth.
You're trying to set the bar low. Yeah. Nice.
People go, oh, yeah, that's Vince. You know, he's an asshole. But it's not like they've gotten used to it or anything. You know what I mean?
Continuously shocked you're an asshole.
Well, hey, we're talking to Ken August from the Weekly Wrap-Up. You can listen to him on Saturday and Bad Advice on Saturday, too. You're hanging out here just all day on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And if you want to call and talk to us, call 800-893-9562. That's 800-893-9562. It spells out 800-VAGINA.
Nice.
No, it doesn't. But we have a couple of songs to play. It's Valentine's Day, you know, and Ken is my Valentine. Thank you very much for being my Valentine. Huh?
You're very welcome. And I might put out.
So since it's Valentine's Day, we're going to play some love songs here on the More Music Radio Pod. And right now coming up, we're going to hear The Vapors. And with Waiting for the Weekend. And we'll be right back on the More Music Radio Pod. Are you ready? All right.
No, no! Wait a minute! No! You got the right, bitch! Hold up! Hold the fuck up! Hold! You got the right, bitch!
The More Music Radio Pod. Broadcasting internationally from downtown Los Angeles. On skidrail.com.
Put it on into the time. But when I see you in the evening, well, Skid Row LA, and we're going to have a good time tonight, no matter what. Yeah!
Music Radio Pod at 1-800-893-9562. Please, please don't tell my mom I was here.
Welcome back to the More Music Radio Pod. It's Valentine's Day. All right. We're trying to have like a love song kind of theme song. I don't have too many love songs in my iTunes, you know?
No mixtape? You have no old school 18-year-old mixtape?
Well, my girlfriend made me a love songs mixtape, but it was on a CD, but you know, it's because it's the 90s now.
You know? Nobody knows what a mixtape is.
Yeah. So she made me a very nice love playlist. And actually, these are a couple of songs that were on there. That Blondie song, Pretty Baby, is what we just heard. And before that was The Vapors, was Waiting for the Weekend.
Nice.
All right. We're here on Valentine's Day.
It's very Valentine-y.
Yeah, man. So we're talking about Valentine's Day. I mean, I don't know. It's not necessarily like a holiday that I look forward to a lot because I get nervous and I get really kind of anxious at, like, what am I going to get my girlfriend? I want to get her something nice, but, you know, I mean, we're going to go to Vegas this weekend and, you know, we got to save some money to go there.
Are you really going to Vegas this weekend?
Yeah, we are.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, let me ask you this before, because then I want to ask you about Vegas. Mm-hmm. But would you look forward more to Valentine's Day if you were single or if you were with somebody? Because you say, you know, there's a little bit of pressure when you're with somebody. There's no pressure, but you are alone.
Yeah, you know what the thing is though, okay, so if you're single, that depends on if you're seeing somebody. If you're seeing somebody and you can kind of hang out with somebody, then it's like a, you know, whatever. It depends. You have somebody to hang out with, you know. So I'd prefer, you know, hanging out with my girlfriend and enjoying Valentine's. We went to IHOP and we had red velvet pancakes.
Nice. Nice.
Isn't that sweet?
That is.
But
very,
I don't know what it is. I'm a guy, you know. So like it's hard for me to be like sweet and be like, hey, you know, like be romantic and stuff.
But is that how you do it? Do you do the hey thing? Because don't do the hey thing.
Hey.
I'm not sure that works.
I go, hey.
You know what? I was incorrect. It is working. I apologize. I was incorrect.
Yeah. You're slipping off your chair, huh?
Well, I wasn't, and now who knew? Who knew?
Yeah.
Could be the holiday.
But, you know, whatever. So, but it worked out. You know, I got a nice Valentine. I got an arts and crafts Valentine. And that was nice. It made me feel very special and stuff.
I like that you get some thought put into that thing.
Yeah. And it's like she always outdoes me, like on the sweetness kind of thing. Like whenever I get the card is like, I always try to get like a funny card or something because I don't know like what kind of romantical card to get, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, is this, because it's like, this sounds very nice, but it doesn't sound like anything that I could ever say, you know?
Can you do Valentine's Day with an e-card yet?
An e-card? Oh, no.
Can you do that shit? That would be nice.
I think you can. There's e-cards, I mean, for every holiday, right?
Oh, no, they have it. They certainly have it, but I don't know whether or not you can get a woman to accept it.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of a chicken shit Valentine, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've gotten my family onto the e-cards for all birthdays and anniversaries now.
Uh-huh.
Just so I'm like, you know, I gave the tree defense. Like, what am I chopping down a tree for?
Right.
As if each card is one tree. But I gave the, what am I chopping down a tree for? How long do you hold a card for? Somebody sends you a birthday card. How long are you going to hold on to that freaking card for?
Right.
You open it up, you see if there's money in it, and then you send it, and then you throw it away.
I'm a hoarder, so I'll hold on to, like, cards, you know?
Really?
Like my birthday cards.
How long
stuff
do you hold on to a birthday card for?
You know what? I still have one from my grandmother when I was probably, like, 11 or something.
Why?
Well, you know, shortly afterwards, she died, so then it was kind of like, oh, well,
that's a specific occasion.
Yeah. You know.
That is that a specific kind of occasion. That I understand. But you haven't held on to all of them since
then. I feel like a bastard when I do actually throw it away. Like, okay, what am I going to do with this? You know, it's just like, oh, someone bought this for me and stuff, you know.
I do feel guilty. I feel guilty when I throw them away. My folks will say, my mom's big on sending a birthday card and sending two of them for some reason, as if the first one didn't take.
Oh, okay.
So she'll send me two of them, but like,
maybe she forgot.
Like,
she sent
I'll get them within the same. Yeah, that
do they
is
both
possible.
Have money in it?
No, that would not unusual. At this age, none of them have money in it, but that would be great. But yeah, she'll send two, and usually I'll get them like within a day. And, you know, I think that's just because she finds two, she likes them, she sends them both. You're like, okay, that's very nice. But I feel guilty throwing them away, but how long, what am I going to do with it?
That's true.
How big is that file you have of birthday
cards? You only look at it like maybe like once or twice tops, or three times if you're like obsessed with looking at your birthday
card. You're looking at your birthday card three times?
No. Actually, I don't think I've ever looked at a birthday card more than twice.
Yeah, I mean, like you look at it once. If it's really funny, you show it to somebody else, and then that's it. Like, what else am I doing with it?
Yeah.
Well, again, unless there's money in it. But what else am I doing with it? So I feel bad. I throw it away, but... Mm-hmm. Apparently, you know, you keep your cards. You're
my girlfriend used
man
to throw away her cards too. Like, I think I noticed like one of the cards in the trash or something. I'm like, oh, she throws it away, and she says the same thing. Like, what am I going to hold? I appreciate, it. I like it, and I loved it, and that's great. Held on to it for like a week and then just kind of dumped
it. That's a good woman.
But that's why her house is very clean and she's very tidy. She's like the opposite.
Let me tell you, you're very close. And I will tell you this as a favor. You seem like she's already very close to going for the e-card move. She's like, what the fuck am I holding on to this card for? Just send me something that's nice or sweet, and I can read it online. It shows me you remembered, you sent it, and then I can delete it and not have to throw shit away.
Wow.
Is that a good plan?
She's in the,
is that an all right
she's
plan?
In the green room. She's nodding. So, okay.
There you go. You see, it's not like a sexist thing. Like, if he forgets that, it still sucks. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So don't.
Can you
don't
send e-chocolate? Like,
dude,
just
I'm here
a picture
to help
of
you.
Chocolate?
Oh, that's, no, I don't think that's, well, that's a funny idea, but I don't think that shit's, if you're ready to break up, yes, you can send that. Yes. I just got you off cards. You still got to buy gifts. I don't think you can send pictures of gifts.
You
got to
get a little something, you know, whatever.
That's nice. You're in.
Depends on, you know, where it lands. You know, like if it lands on a Vegas, we're just like, hey, let's both save money and just go to Vegas.
Now that's fantastic. You guys go to, do you go to Vegas often?
We try to go at least once a year. We like it.
It's fantastic.
I love to drink lots and lots of drinks there for free.
Are you a gambler?
Oh, yeah. I like to play blackjack and I like to play roulette, and I'm getting into craps.
Craps is addictive. First of all, I'm a blackjack player. I play a lot of blackjack. I love poker, but I don't generally play poker, especially when I go to Vegas. Mm-hmm. I'll play poker with friends.
Poker's intimidating, though, to go sit at the tables.
That's like, the thing.
Because people get pissed off at you when you make a fucked up move or something, especially like in blackjack.
Yeah.
And a couple times I've gotten pissed off and be like, hey, motherfucker, this is my money. Like, stop telling me shit, you know? The dealer's like, hey, take it easy. You know, apparently, like, I get, like, upset.
Well, here's my thing is, and when somebody's playing at the minimal table, like, I'll have a little, I mean, I don't need it anymore. I play the same general system like my brother and my dad play. Mm-hmm. But we used to print out this little chart. Like, it was just like a little small piece of paper chart. And it doesn't guarantee you win. The odds are always still slightly in the house's favor. But it would tell you what you should do. And we would look, and you can look at it. You can pull it out and look at it. So we would talk. And every once in a while, you get someone who has no idea, and they're like, I'm hitting on 16 no matter what. And you got a lot of money riding on it. Now, that doesn't mean just because they do something wrong, it's going to work out against you.
Right.
But you do remember those times.
Right.
And now I've played with people where you're like, oh, why are you hitting that?
Yeah.
And the person would be like, well, what should I have done? And I'd be like, well, if I was to tell you, then you would lose and I would feel bad. But what the book says, and I would tell them.
That's a common term, right? The book says to hit.
Right. And the thing
what
is,
book? Is there a book that says blackjack?
There's thousands and thousands of books. And
do you need a book? It's pretty much 21, right? I mean, it's an easy game.
It is 21, but there
How thick is this book? Is it like a 10-pager? Because I could read it.
Well, is it a 10-pager?
Yeah.
I read the Cliff Notes.
Yeah.
here's the thing is they give you the odds, and then there's so many different variations on how many different decks you're playing and things like that. So there are things, and there's always gray areas, or at least, you know, certain things where you're like, I'm on 16.
I hate 16.
Yes, and you should. 16 blows.
Fuck that.
16 blows.
16
but I mean,
and 15 are like, that really stinks.
Right.
I hate
now,
getting that.
When someone goes either way on 16, it's like, I understand that. When the dealer has, here's the thing, and here is basically the whole thing with blackjack. That you can tell when somebody sits down and they don't know what they're doing at all, and it's still their prerogative to play. So when I'm playing on, you know, the $5 table or whatever, that's what you're going to get, more of that.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, here's the thing, and I think I'm sure when I started, if you don't know, you don't know. People look at their own cards. If you don't think, most of what your strategy revolves around is what the dealer has.
Right.
And so people will look and be like, oh, I got a 12. I'm nowhere close to 21.
Yeah, what is the dealer showing?
And you're like, the dealer's got 16. You don't want to do anything. Yeah. Let the dealer try to bust.
Yeah.
But people don't know. And that's when you go, oh, so like if I have a big bet on the table, if I'm on a winning streak and I keep increasing my bet, and then the dealer, you know, and I pull 20 and the dealer has a 6 and I'm like, oh, this is looking good.
Yeah.
And somebody hits on 13 and busts and pulls a 23. I'm fucking pissed.
Yeah.
I am fucking pissed because it's like, as little about the game as possible.
Right.
Now, to their defense, you know, that's their prerogative.
Right.
But I fucking hate it.
Yeah, it's true. And then sometimes everybody loses, you know. It doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah, I follow the book and I lose almost all the time, dude. Whatever this book is, I still lose almost all the fucking time. My book sucks.
Fuck, man, I know. It must be the old edition.
It is. I used to love, man. I'm jealous you're going to Vegas. We used to go when I first moved here about 15 years ago. My buddy and I would. It would be.
Where'd you move from?
New York. Oh, okay. Grew up in Long Island.
That's where the straightforwardness comes from.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. And then I went to college in Ohio and then moved here. Holy shit. Did I just pop into... there's more Gus in my head all of a sudden. That's fucked up. Gus
you sound fine. You sound fine in here.
Gus is Ken August. I'm the same person, by the way. So
yeah, what is that about?
August.
August. Oh, okay.
And
now
it gets confusing because... ever since high school, that nickname has followed me. Gus from, it was like, I have an older brother, so Augie, my last name is August. It was Augie, but I was Little Aug, and then some kid with a thick accent called me August. That stuck. They shortened it to Gus, but when I moved out here and started doing this, Jeremy liked Ken August, so he started calling me Ken August, but people that know me kept calling me Gus, and people were like, I have no idea who the fuck you are, dude.
I think I'm going to choose Gus. I like Gus.
Well,
since I hear Ken, I'm like, well, I'll just call him Ken. I don't know. What do you prefer?
Well, when we're dealing with when I have to push a radio show, I guess I have to be Ken August. But when you're talking to me, you can call me Gus.
All right, cool.
You can call me technically whatever the fuck you want. If it's in my direction, I'll probably answer it. Craps. So Craps is the one. Once you start playing Craps, it is hard to go back to any other game because every other game is slow paced compared to Craps. I got to win at blackjack, and when I win at blackjack, then I go to craps, and it is so much fun.
It's intimidating the first time you step at that table, though, because you don't know what the hell you're doing, and I really do appreciate these other gamblers that are like, they see that you're an idiot, and they're like, oh, this guy's an idiot, I got to help him out, or he's going to fuck up the whole table, you know? So they'll be like, hey, you know what? This is what you do. Just follow me right here. I'll do this. You put it on the line, you know, you're trying to make, you're betting that he's going to come through for us.
Right.
Oh, okay, you know.
And that's the thing is, once you understand, then it's like, oh, okay, certain thing, you know, okay, in almost any game, you're like, explain to me, okay, now I can make up my mind, and that's good. But that's a tough game, you're right, because that shit happens fast, and there's a lot of different shit you can do.
Yeah.
Blackjack, you're hitting or you're sticking. You know, you can still fuck up, but you only have so many choices. Here, you can bet on, you know, craps. You can bet on all sorts of stuff.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Actually, the first time that I had any luck with craps, might have been the second time that I actually played it. My buddies and roommates from 8-Bit, Tony and Andy, we went to Vegas one year. And they're like, hey, man, just do what we do and we're going to win and all this stuff. And I shit you not, my buddy Tony rolled 53 times in a row and just kept winning for the whole fucking table.
I love when
kept
that guy
winning.
Shows up.
I fucking won $500 just on that fucking table.
That's
and
great.
Like on his like fucking 50th or like 48th roll, whatever, he's like, he looks at me, he's like, you know what? He goes, I think I'm going to fucking throw up right here. He goes, I have to either go to the bathroom, I'm just going to throw up. And I'm like, dude, don't go. I'm like, dude, you're on a roll. Like, you're winning for everybody. Don't leave. Yeah. And I saw his cheeks puff out. He like threw up in his mouth and like swallowed it back.
That's a good trope.
Just so he can stay at the table too.
Did he last a while?
And he did. Yeah. He lasted like another like five rolls or something.
That would have sucked if he swallowed his own puke and then crapped out.
There was this one guy who didn't like us or something for some reason. And he kept betting up against us. He kept going on the don't pass.
Don't you hate that guy?
I hate that guy. Cause it's like, he's like wishing for the whole table to lose just because he doesn't like a couple of people, you know?
Yeah.
And dude, he was, every time he would lose because the whole table won, he'd get pissed. He'd fucking throw his fucking chips on the fucking thing.
If your buddy rolled for 53 times in a row, that guy must have lost a lot.
He did.
That's awesome.
He did. Fuck, yeah. And then he started talking shit.
Fuck that guy. Dude, that is a fantastic experience. I mean, I've had one or two really good craps experiences. And I mean,
it is
a lot of fun. That game is hard to fucking leave. Yeah. But there was one dude where it was like, we stepped there. I think we were at the Flamingo and some dude, they're like, all the dealers or all the guys working the table are like, oh God, here comes Sal. Sal's up. And some, you know, short old dude pops up, starts throwing a dice, and he rolled for about 20 straight minutes. And I mean, I didn't know what was going on, and he was winning so much that I now had all the numbers covered, and he just kept rolling. He just didn't crap out for 20 minutes. And the guys were like, you want to press? I'm like, okay. Like, he was just suggesting shit and raising my bets for me, and you know, the guy working the table. And it was like, anytime this guy hit any number, I was getting between 25 and 50 bucks. And I'm betting basically the minimum, you know, of what I can do. This guy just kept rolling and kept hitting the numbers. And then after like 20 minutes, he craps out and like, oh, Sal's having an off night. Like, really? I fucking love Sal, dude. It was awesome. It was fantastic.
It's so fun, too, because the whole table gets into it and, like, yeah, everybody's cheering.
It's
and
so
shit.
Exciting, man. It's so much different than a blackjack table.
I always get that anxiety, though, when the dice are coming to me, you know, and I'm like, okay, here comes Vince to fucking fuck the whole shit up.
You do roll. Everybody's you don't give it up, do you?
Oh, no, I do. Yeah, I have to roll. Yeah. I see it as, like, rude, you know, or like you're, like, not having faith in the table or something. You're not trying to be part of the team or something, you know?
Yeah.
But I get that anxiety. It's just like, I know I'm going to fuck this up. I always fuck everything up. I'm so scared right now. And, you know, and then I end up like crapping out and everybody's like all excited, you know, at first. And they're like, oh, okay.
Do
yeah,
you do anything?
Guy.
You know, some guys will like line up certain dice. Like they'll turn one over.
Oh yeah, I do.
Check it. What do you do?
I get the, I find the 2 threes.
Yeah.
And I put them together so it looks like an arrow. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the, you know, make
nice.
It like an arrow. And then I throw it, you know, in the direction of the arrow down the table.
I like it.
I got
like
that it. from Tony and Andy. That's what they do.
I like it. I have a system where here's the thing is I used it when it worked really, really well, but I've used it when it hasn't worked well. But I basically, I put it on a 4 and a 3. I crap it out right there and figure, what are the odds of me throwing it and it landing on the same numbers
true.
That I got?
That's true, yeah.
Turns out the odds are pretty good.
Yeah, that's great, man. Yeah, so craps is good. Also, what I really started to really love after this happened once is video poker. One time we went to Vegas. I don't know if it was the second to last time. And we just got there. We got to our room. We stood at the Fitzgerald. And we got to the room. I'm like, you know what? We were going to go to sleep. We were tired, you know? It was like maybe like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to go down. Let's go and have a drink or something and come back up. I'll throw 20 in the machine, whatever. Fuck it, you know? So we go down there, me and my girlfriend, sit at the bar. I like the bar there too, you know? And it's cool. Start talking to people, throwing my 20.
Play now, do a couple you have hands. To pay for drinks when you're at the bar?
Oh, no. Oh, no. At the bar, here's the secret. When you're playing slots or at the bar video poker, they don't comp you unless you're playing full credits. Like, you have to play 5 coins.
Really?
Yeah. So what I do is when the bartender comes around, I put max bets. Well, I'll bet max bets because so I want to win the most.
You'll place an order and they'll lean over and look at your screen?
They look. Yeah, they can tell. They can tell. They go, they tell you have to bet max bets for you to get comped.
Man, that's fucked up.
So you just do that, but then when their back's turned, just fucking sit there and drink and just bet 1 quarter at a time, you know?
That's fucked up. I didn't know they did that.
But luckily this one time, and luckily I bet max bets because I want to win the top thing.
I won't do that unless I can bet max bets.
Well, I'm max betting. I'm fucking drinking a Nuts and Berries, which is a pretty good girly drink.
Nuts and Berries?
Yeah, it's like a Frangelico and a Chambord.
I don't know. You just making up words right now?
I've never heard of that shit. Either.
I'm just repeating what
he's
the guy
like
said.
He's like a Smurf concoction of some sort.
I like girl drinks.
Mixed drink what are you?
I don't care. I'll put my finger up in the air, too.
I don't know. What the fuck? You're like, oh, I got some schnapps and some other schnapps. What the? You making up shit. What do you have? I don't know.
Frangelico and Chambord. And,
are those
you mix
two
it together.
Gay Italian men?
Yeah.
He has a drink with two gay Italian men. He has their twigs and berries. It's fantastic.
That's what I started calling it after you have like 10 of those. You start calling it whatever you want. So anyway, I'm playing video poker and fucking boom, I fucking hit a royal flush.
Oh,
went
nice.
$1,000 right there. My first 10 minutes at the fucking bar, my first 20, and fucking people are giving me the fucking evil eye, man. They're just
really?
Looking at me like, motherfucker, you know, because that's what they're trying to do. They're like, this guy hit it. There's no way I'm going to fucking hit it, you know?
Yeah. The fuck yeah, dude.
That was so good. We had a really good time that weekend.
That is great. You know, I had done that. I like video poker as well. I went with a guy that I used to work with a bunch. We went to Vegas and he likes to gamble, but he's one of those people. He likes to gamble, but when you go to Vegas, all of a sudden he's like, well, I'm not going to play blackjack because there's, you know, too many women on a table. I don't trust how they play. I'm like, what? What year do you live in, dude? What are you talking about? Look at that guy. That guy's just made a stupid move. He's like, well, then I definitely don't want to play. So he'll go play like slots or video poker. And you're like, really, dude? We came all the way to Vegas and now like, you're not even going to be one of the dudes sitting there playing blackjack or something with me. So
maybe
I'm,
the vagina smell throws him off. Or something, it could. You know? Gets in his nostrils.
I don't know what the hell it was. So he's sitting there playing all weekend. He's not at any table with me. He's playing fucking slots. So football comes around on Sunday. And so I'm like, you know what? All right, man, I'll sit next to you. I'll play the video poker. And he's sitting two machines to my left. I'm sitting to the right to get a better angle at the Giant game. And boom, I keep a jack and a king of spades. Three fucking spades, and I get a royal flush.
Wow.
Royal flush, $1,000, things are going off. I probably played $40 worth of coins to win the $1,000, and I'm like, holy shit. I'm freaking out. They come over, they pay me $1,000 bills. I'm fucking pumped. He's you know, at least faking being happy.
Yeah.
We watched the game. I play, you know, I put in another, you know, 100. We watched the game. I finish. I go to grab something. I come back from the room. I think I go up to grab, you know, a smoke or something. I come back down, and he just won the Royal Flush as well.
Wow, that's great.
20 machines over. Fantastic.
Holy shit.
Difference is I ended up on the weekend about $700. He borrowed $200 from me and was still ended up down ridiculous amount.
At least he had a good time with it, at least for a short period of time. Some people, they kind of get jealous, you know, or they don't like it that you win. Because speaking of Jeremy, I sent him a text and I took a picture of it. And I'm like, dude, just won $1,000. And he sent me back a two-word response, fuck you. And I'm like, what a fucking dick, man. Was that for real?
You get the nice with an exclamation point as much as
you
get.
Yeah, like, hey, that's great. I'm so happy for you. But he's like, fuck you or fuck off or something like that. I'm like, man.
You should be happy. He sends me a two-page email telling me I'm a douche.
Damn.
Yeah, you should be happy. You just got to fuck you. At least he's like, you know what? I'm not going to waste your time. For me, he's like, here, read two pages of fuck you.
Oh, man, I haven't got that email yet. Well, hey, man, let's keep this thing rolling. It's Valentine's Day, so we're going to play some more love songs on the More Music Radio Pod. And when we get back, we'll be hanging out some more with Ken August, and we'll talk about what's going on. And we'll be back on the More Music Radio Pod. All right.
CBS News' Serene Branson is live at the Staples Center with highlights and backstage coverage we're seeing for the very first time. Serene.
Well, a very, very heavy divertation tonight. We had a very Darrison bite. Let's go ahead, Tarzan, let's go to the head of the pit.
Incomplete of this mainframe catacomb. I'll link to our drive that will give you data back. Download our lives, our destination.
www.skidrow.la. Are you FAA or FCC?
We're DIY.
DIY? What's that mean?
Do it yourself.
Do it yourself.
Yes, David Lee Behart. I'd like to know if you'd like to think about going to the Moon Festival with me and the Grinnians. And anyway, we'd be gone for 2 weeks. They can travel at the speed of sound, so we'd be in Star Corridor in 2 days in the concert and then be back. I want you to give it some thought. I'd like you to make me a copy of my email that
Mitchell
Clay sent me. Thank you. Bye.
There's a Grinnian who knows my name, and she looks just like Betty Page. I met her at the Tar Pits.
Valentine's Day. Kicking back with my homie, Ken August. Gus, as I call him.
Nice. It's about time.
Yeah, man, this is fun. I'm having a good time. You're a cool dude.
Well, you know, you should let people know. Most people don't know that. And most people would find that hard to believe.
Yeah, man.
No, this is great. You kidding me? This is about as relaxed and fun of a show as I could possibly do. I'm used to stressing out over the weekly wrap-up.
Yeah, you prepare a lot for that,
oh,
man.
Oh, God, way more than I thought I would have to when we started that show.
A news show is really hard to do.
No,
because you got to know what's going on. I've listened to your show, and I'm like, man, Gus is really on top of his shit, and it's just like, I'll go in phases where I'll listen to everything and just be totally attentive and just be like in it, you know, following it. And then I'm just like, fuck this. I'm sick of this. Like, this, nothing ever matters anyway. You know, there's nothing we can do about it. You know, we're all going to fucking die anyway.
And there's definitely, that is true. There's definitely times when I miss the days when I just didn't follow shit.
Yeah.
You're like, oh man, this is so freaking annoying.
Yeah. Or you don't give a shit, you know, just be like, oh, well, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you gotta kind of don't care, because really what's going on nowadays is like pretty fucking scary. There's some fucking crazy fucking scary shit going on.
Yeah, you got to pick and choose what you're going to worry about.
People are fucking frightening.
Well, that is definitely true. That is certainly, certainly true. And now you're frightening with like crazy ass weapons and technology cyber shit. And now there's all sorts of crazy shit. Like back in the day, you know, you'd have, you know, it was a little harder to be as dangerous as you wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one lone idiot with a relative with a gun and fucking watch out everybody.
And then you get training like with Grand Theft Auto 4, and then it's fun. I like that stuff though. I was talking about it with people because
now, do you think that plays a big role in it?
You know what? The thing is, I would think that it does play a big role if other countries that have the same thing were as crazy as we were, you know, like maybe it doesn't help.
It certainly doesn't help. But no, I agree with you. It certainly doesn't help, and it probably desensitizes a little bit. But yeah, I think it's more our culture of liking guns and having guns.
Well, because they look cool. I mean, I don't have any guns. Yeah. I've never fired a gun.
Really?
Never fired a gun. I want to really bad at people. Is that wrong? Is something wrong with that?
It's wrong, Ish, but you're going to have to let me know at people first. I reserve my judgment until I know this list.
Well, that's what guns are invented for. They're not invented for killing animals. They're for killing people.
They're for killing.
Yeah. And,
you know, I mean, you can aim it at whatever the fuck you want, but it is for killing.
What are we killing, though, with these assault rifles? We're aiming to kill other people. We're afraid of other people.
Absolutely. You're not even technically allowed to hunt, I don't think, with an assault rifle. So
really?
Or it's not a semi-automatic, I don't believe. Like, you can't just start spraying bullets, but I mean, so the whole gun thing fucking drives me nuts. I mean, all that shit like you were talking about other countries. It's like, what other fucking country would look at us and go, huh, well, how can they not figure out they have way more guns than everybody else and way more gun deaths? Like, how is it even a fucking argument? Drives me nuts.
Right.
You know, and the whole Second Amendment bullshit, you're like, first of all, if you read the whole Second Amendment, well, then that argument doesn't make any sense. But even if you fucking don't, you're like, it doesn't make any sense. What other problem in the world do people go, you know what we need is more of that problem? It's fucking stupid. And the argument when people say shit like, oh, well, you know what? Someone can, you know, stab somebody to death. Should you ban knives? You're like,
it's a lot harder to fucking kill a lot of people with a knife.
Exactly. What was the mass last? Yeah,
you gotta be really good at that fucking
knife.
That's
what I'm saying. Have you had when was the last mass stabbing or strangling that you fucking seen? It's not a lot.
Something to aspire to, though.
Well, you know, you gotta train.
You get good at it.
You gotta train. And don't, kids who are aspiring to do that, don't take steroids. You gotta train to get to that
level.
Yeah,
don't cheat.
No, I thought that Dorner guy was going to fucking be that guy. Everybody thought that fucking Manhunt guy was going to be fucking Rambo. Right.
And I've been fascinated with that whole thing. And like recently they just today they finally said, OK, that was his body. For people who have not heard, well, people who probably don't live in L.A., probably not really following it that much. But over here in L.A. and California, this fucking ex-LAPD officer who was wronged, he got like fired. And first of all, okay, so the story is he got fired for ratting out his training officer for kicking a mentally ill person in the chest and in the face. He wanted to do the right thing. And that's something that you obviously don't do, you know, in any gang. You don't fucking tell on other gang members, right?
That is
because
true.
They'll fuck you up. They'll kill you or something, right?
Or at least fire you from the force.
They fired him. They made his life fucking hell. And I think they did it to the wrong guy, you know?
Yeah, assuming everything he said is true, He snapped.
How come I believe that, though? I mean,
yeah,
it's not
very funny.
The thing is like, okay, the guy's a murderer, and what the way he carried it out was the entirely wrong fucking way to handle it. You know, like, even reading his manifesto, I'm like, this guy is, like, really well thought out. Like, he could have been a communicator. He could have done it a different way, you know? Like, he was, like, you can expose something, you know, from the other end. He just said, he was so hurt, you know, because he devoted his whole life. This is what, from reading his shit, I'm not condoning anybody going and murdering people, you know, of course, you know, but you can kind of see that, you know, that guy was pushed over the edge. He was already had these mental problems that were existent, and that, you know, that feeling of just betrayal. And, like, you know, when you're a kid, you want to believe that, I don't know, when you do good, that, you know, righteousness is going to be on your side and help you out and stuff. Or, like, God is looking down on you and helping you out, you know, but it doesn't always happen that way.
No, then you need to grow up and realize that shit doesn't necessarily happen. But, yeah, I mean, and I was talking about this, you know, I was talking about this, hinted on this the other day, and then I'm sure I'm going to talk about it in a weekly wrap up on Saturday, is that this guy, exactly what you said, you want to believe the reasons. He laid out this manifesto, and there's all sorts of reasons to believe this guy's completely crazy. Right. First of all, number one, obviously, the logic that the conclusion he came to, that he needs to kill not only people he feels wronged him, but the family members of people that wronged him. He started with, you're going to lose all sympathy when you start by killing the daughter of somebody that you feel wronged you. So that's right off the bat. So obviously he's not that sane.
That's like some movie shit.
This whole thing is like a movie, except they'll have to change it to make somebody likable in the story. Because you believe him when he says the cops were corrupt. You believe him. He may not be telling the truth, but you, for some reason, you said exactly what I was saying.
And I believe he's telling the truth about that.
There is a Facebook page that I saw that is, we are all Chris Dorner. And I'm not suggesting that, you know, you should do it, but the We Are All Chris Dorner has over 18,000 people.
People get excited. Well, because this is the same people that love movies like this.
This guy killed people.
Yeah.
But they felt like these are a bunch of people that feel like they already believe the police are corrupt.
Right.
Now, this guy's coming out saying, hey, the police are corrupt.
Yeah.
So that shit is absolutely crazy, but you believe him. But then in the 20-page manifesto, he rambles for a little bit and says shit like, oh man, don't make a hangover. Don't make any more than hangover 3. And sorry, I'm going to miss Shark Week.
He watched too much TV and movies. He just got, he's too into that, you know?
Dude, but when you're writing your manifesto and you're like, oh, fuck, going to miss Shark Week. Like, yeah. Where's your head at?
Well, Shark Week is fun to watch. Like, I can understand. Like,
and I understand it. And
if you love Shark Week, like, I'd be like, oh man, I'm going to miss Walking. He even mentioned Walking Dead.
Did he mention Walking Dead?
Yeah, like, let's say if I went on a rampage and, you know, I'm going to get suicide by cop or whatever. Like, I would be sad because I won't be able to watch Breaking Bad, which is going to come out this summer. It's like, you know, they made us wait a year. Maybe after Breaking Bad is when I'll start my rampage.
He mentioned a bunch of women as the most beautiful women on the planet.
It's so weird, like, isn't it?
Michelle Rodriguez, the chick from that 70s show. who is the
Lisa
American
Lampanelli.
Idol?
He liked Lisa Lampanelli, too.
But not as the most beautiful woman.
Oh, okay.
That would be funnier.
She lost a lot of weight. Have you seen her?
There's not enough weight to make her better looking. But she's great. She's actually, she's hysterical, I think.
Yeah.
I'm just fucking around. I think she's hysterical.
Yeah. Lisa, if you're listening, we're just totally fucking around.
Yeah, totally fucking. Oh, I'm pretty sure she can take a harsh joke. She's one of the best at it. She's great. You ever see her on those roasts? Oh, she was awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, dude, I mean, so this guy, and everybody thought this guy was going to kind of be Rambo-esque, and then these people up in the cabin stumbled upon him and the whole fucking plan.
But, you know, he fumbled a lot. Like,
well, you know where he was hiding out?
He was hiding out just like steps away from the command center,
across
right?
the fucking street from the command center.
Dude, like, okay, this guy's a murderer. You can't like a murderer, but I love that he did that. You know what I mean? And I was, to be honest with you, I'm being totally honest. I was kind of hoping that it would go a little bit longer and he would kind of, instead of like, okay, he already killed a woman and her fiance a couple days after you know, the fiance proposes, you know, and they, you know, they get engaged, and it's such a sad fucking story, you know, all these people are like, oh, we're all Dorner and like Dorner supporters. Like, really, they're ignoring that part. I mean, if you're the type of person that's going to like ignore that and just be like, well, this guy is fucking great, you know, this guy's a hero, like, there's something wrong with you, you know, like, you're on purpose not looking at that, you know, they're coming from the right place, and it's like a frustration and stuff, but I don't know, like,
they're looking at it like a movie. They're saying this guy was wronged and now he's fighting. I mean,
when I was reading it, I'm like, fuck yeah, get him, you know what I mean? But I mean, that's why I'm not that's why I don't have any weapons, you know.
No, that's a good thing, I think. But you feel people believed he was wronged. And so there was that element of, oh, well, you know what? I'd like him to at least prove he was wronged. But he started by killing the fucking family members of people.
You know? That's like shit that mafia people do. And he comes from that mentality. I mean, LAPD, I mean, they are the biggest fucking gang in the fucking city of Los Angeles and the most powerful gang. And I mean, I know there are a lot of good cops. I mean, because there have been some cops that fucking just let me get away with stuff, you know, and they're, you know, just because they're regular people. But I mean, most of them are sick people as well, you know, and here's one of them, who the sickest one, you know.
It's nuts.
It's a weird thing. But you know what? Aside from all the fucking death and all that stuff, like, there was something really funny that came out of it. And I want to play something. It's a call. And Howard Stern is the shit. I fucking love Howard Stern. And this guy, Captain Jenks, likes to call in to news shows and stuff and pretty much just exploits that they're fucking dumbasses who don't vet any of the callers, and they don't fucking, you know, they don't look into, you know, if they're really talking to like a police captain or something. So here's a call that Captain Jenks made the other day. And I think I love it. I think it's funny. Let's see. Let's see if it plays, Nick. I got the computer going. Okay. That's a Kenny Chesney. Well, I'm looking at YouTube. Now I can skip the ad. Kenny Chesney, how gross.
To interrupt you, Carter. We want to go live to the telephone. Mike Tower from the Fish and Game Department is joining us now.
This is great.
Is it Mr. Tower? Do I have the name correct?
Speaking, yes, Tugger.
First of all, can you tell us how this all started this afternoon? Because we understand that it did involve a California Fish and Game official. Is that correct? He made the initial spotting of Christopher Dorner?
That's correct. And then we called law enforcement. It was confirmed that there was gunfire. Who it was, we don't know at this point. We believe it was Ronnie, the limo driver, firing at Mr. Dorner. And we believe that he hit him.
And, Mr. Tower, you say Ronnie, the limo driver?
Yes, ma'am. Ronnie, the limo driver. Ronnie Mund. He was on his way to a block party, and he got caught in a fire out.
And it's your impression that one of the Fish and Game wardens was the first person to spot Christopher Dorner?
You're a real dumbass. You still don't know that this is a prank?
All right, apparently some people taking advantage of live television on a very, very serious day here in Los Angeles.
Oh, my Lord.
We're a gun battle.
What a fucking idiot, man. I love that shit, man. I love that shit.
You're a dumbass. You don't know this is a prank.
I fucking love that shit, man. Captain Jenks, man. I fucking love him.
Ronnie the limo driver.
Let's see. Let me get it. Since we're in the funny Captain Jenks mood, let me see what they have.
Oh,
here.
That is funny, dude.
Let's see here.
President Bush's comments as he headed to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We're going to keep our coverage in Pennsylvania now.
Right.
On the phone with us is Gene Perret, comedy writer who wrote for Bob Hope for 40 years. Gene, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
What can you tell us about Bob?
I guess this is when Bob Hope died or something.
Hope's sense of humor. What was it like to write jokes for this funny, funny man?
Oh, he was able to take the smallest thing and just turn it around and make it the funniest. He was able to pick out the best thing that we would write for him, and he would be able to just...
You would think that they recognize his voice.
...go great on screen. He was the most incredible entertainer of all time, and we've all lost a great man, as President Bush said.
Just taking on a sense of humor for a moment, can you give us a sense of what it was like when you would write a joke or how he would see that something was funny or perhaps wasn't funny?
Well, see, Bob would always tell us if he thought something wasn't funny, but generally, you know, he would improvise whatever we wrote for him and make it funny. So in other words, if we wrote something that wasn't funny, he would turn it around and make it funny.
So he was a pretty...
I like how he kind of, like, sounds credible, you know? Like, he comes up, he's like, he knows what he's going to say and stuff.
He's a pretty great guy to work for, then, if you're a comedy writer. It makes you look good.
He was the best. He was the best boss one could ever have. And from what I understand, he died choking on Howard Stern's ball sack.
No. Okay. Well, we're going to have to go ahead and take him off the air.
Yeah,
amazing,
you are.
That even at times like this, that when the country is trying to mourn a great entertainer, that people try to...
Yeah.
People
try to make it really, really funny.
On with that.
He died choking on Howard Stern's ball sack.
Oh, man. Let's see. Let's get one more, man. Here, let me see this one. I'm in the mood for some janks.
Go on, for
coverage. I'm Don Daler with Cindy Hsu.
We're going to kick him off the air.
It really is. We just see it in the reporters who are covering all over the area. Also, we're getting some great information on the phone right now. We have Dennis Mikulski, director of the Office of Emergency Management for New York City. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're well, thank you. You know, we were just speaking with Marsha Kramer, who was saying the next big decision by OEM for this area is going to be whether the bridges are going to close or not.
Would you bang Howard Stern?
All right. There's a prankster in every event like this.
All right. Let's get him off the air, that fucking dick.
Making
it hilarious. Hey, stop making people laugh, you asshole.
Would you bang Howard Stern? So let me ask you, did Howard Stern, because when he was married, right? Mm-hmm. When he was married, he would always pull the, oh my God, what I would do to you. Oh my God. So when he wasn't married, did he do that to a lot of people?
No. I mean, as far as he says, and I tend to believe him, I don't think that he's a liar or anything.
No, he would. I don't think he would play
down
anything.
I know that when he was married, he says that he never did anything while he was married. But as soon as he was separated or something, or the divorce was final, like he just went on a rampage and started...
Oh, he said he did. So he did go, once he was done with the marriage, he did then start fucking people all over the place.
Yeah, and who did you, let's see that.
I thought he was dating
that black actress, Robin, not Robin Quivers, but Robin, Mike Tyson's ex-wife.
Robin Givens,
yeah.
He's saying, Howard Stern's saying he fucked Robin Givens?
Oh, yeah, she even came on the show and they talked about it, too. They did date, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, what a trip, huh?
I did
She's
not
annoying,
know that.
Though. She's one of those white blacks, though. The black girls are that kind of like act white.
I don't care what color she is. She's hot. She's fucking hot.
I wanted to have some ghetto juice. You know what I mean?
She was crazy hot, and she was hot in, what was that, Boomerang? Oh, good Lord.
I didn't even see that.
And
that
she
good?
Was hot in that. What was that other thing? Oh, Tyson beating her up? She was hot in that.
She was hot when she destroyed Mike Tyson's life. That was pretty hot.
That was pretty hot. I think Tyson helped destroy his life as well. Although I'm still questionable on the rape charge.
That's questionable, man. Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, that sounds... I mean, okay, like, of course, like, I'm not, like, coming out and, like, condoning rape or anything, you know? Of
That's
course,
a
when
a
woman
a
says... When a woman says no, of course, you don't do it. You get in big trouble, even though you really want to, you know? But, I mean, the circumstances were, I guess, like, she came in to his, like, hotel room, like, in the middle of the night or
like
something.
2 o'clock
you know?
In the morning or something.
Some crazy shit like that. I don't know. And it's not like he was the smartest guy who could defend himself. Like he was kind of being taken advantage of and stuff, right?
He's a
street guy. You don't expect him to like have like, you know?
Well, yeah. You rarely hear a story where you say, and Mike Tyson was really manipulating the situation. You rarely hear that. But he does scare the shit out of people. But I have met him. I have met him once.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he was. I mean, scary? Briefly, we weren't, you know, hanging out, but we spoke briefly. Very friendly and, you know, professional and timid dude. Now, he didn't know most of the people around him. So it was, you know, he was like just day playing on something. So he wasn't necessarily comfortable. He was on his best behavior. So it's not like, and I wasn't going to piss him off.
Man, he's my favorite boxer of all time. I have to say of all time because like he's the craziest. Like he bit a guy's ear off.
Bit a fucking guy's ear off.
But dude. He was so dangerous.
Twice he went back to the ear.
He did?
Well, I mean, in the same fight.
Okay.
In the first fight, he bit his ear and they separated him and like, all right, that's crazy, but let's just keep fighting.
Yeah.
And then he's fucking bittered again. You're like, oh my God, what the hell is happening?
Well, because he got upset because he kept getting headbutted. You know?
Okay, I'm sorry. You were.
He got upset.
I blacked out when you were giving me a reason for him chewing on his ear.
It's not a good reason, but that is the reason why he did that. I'm not saying it's a good reason. He doesn't come up with great reasons for
it was not a great reason, but man.
He got mad.
How the hell? That was the closest I ever got to believing in religion, I think, was that first Holyfield fight. Because I remember thinking, oh my God, Tyson is going to kill him. That first one. Everyone was basically on.
I don't know because Holyfield's a big fucking dude.
Holyfield is a big dude, but everybody, that was still in the, oh my God, Tyson just came out of prison, I think, or something. And people were like, oh my God, he's just like, Tyson was the first guy that I remember seeing. And I mean, obviously, the greatest of all time is still the greatest of all time. But Tyson is the first fighter that I remember seeing in my lifetime where the other fighters would get in and look scared.
Yeah.
They looked fucking scared. You're like, they would be in there and Tyson would be looking at the guy and you're like, this guy's already beaten. This guy's fucking terrified right now.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen that in, you know, in any other fighter since then.
Because he would knock people out in the first fucking few seconds of a lot of his fights, you know? He would, or hurt them, you know? Like, show them, you know, his power that he had.
I thought he was going to kill Holyfield. And then you saw it before the fight. Holyfield was standing in the shower singing some religious song, and I'm like, oh, that sweet man's going to get his face beat in. And then he came out, and he just started getting his ear chewed off and still beat the shit out of the guy. He went, oh my God, maybe he's real. Maybe God is real. And then Holyfield got dumber and still tries to fight. And then you find out he has like 600 kids, which is why he fights. And you're like, maybe God didn't help out that much.
Hey, but how about that Buster Douglas? I mean, that was a total like crazy. I'm like, oh, Mike is going to fucking kick the shit out of this fat guy, man.
Dude, was that not the craziest upset you've ever seen?
Oh my God. I was sad.
Probably the third craziest sport event that I've seen.
Yeah.
I mean, that was absolutely nuts.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That has to be one of the biggest upsets of all time.
What do you think about the Pacquiao Marquez, the last fight? That was a fucking dramatic fucking knockout, man.
That was a tremendously dramatic knockout. I was kind of happy to see it.
Yeah, me too.
I'm sick of the Pacquiao.
Well, he's so good.
He's so good, but he's lost two in a row now, hasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
He's so good.
Well, his first loss, I don't think he deserved it, though, do you think?
No, but then don't come in and lose a second time.
Yeah, it's true.
So, I mean, you've now, for a guy, first of all, that's why boxing, the fact that you said he didn't deserve to lose, and that can be said so often, that's one of the main reasons why UFC-type stuff is taken over.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, the biggest fight in boxing doesn't happen and these guys just dance until now. Is it nearly as big of a fight? Pacquiao's lost two in a row. So who gives a shit if Pacquiao and Mayweather fight now as much? I'd still like to see it, but you can't.
But you know Mayweather's going to kick the shit out of Pacquiao.
Right, and you can't, and no matter what happens, you can't say, well, they're both on the top of their game right now. You can't say that because Pacquiao's already lost twice. Mayweather barely fights anymore and hangs out in jail more than not jail.
Yeah, but he's fucking badass. And
no doubt.
You know, he talks all this shit, but I mean, he can. He has the fucking right to talk all this shit because he's the best fucking fighter.
He backs it up.
But, God damn.
But I mean, that's part of boxing's problem. Those two guys, I mean, boxing lost a lot of the star power, and the two biggest stars happened to be in the same weight class, and they couldn't get the fucking fight together.
Right.
And now, whether one guy didn't want to fight.
Why couldn't they get it together again?
Well, money is always the root of a lot of things, but I think in this case, there may have been one guy may have not wanted to fight the other one.
I think it was Mayweather, right? Because Pacquiao's like, fuck it, or fuck it.
Well, Mayweather was accusing Pacquiao, I think, of taking some sort of steroid or whatever. So he wanted a test, and Pacquiao refused to do the certain kind of test, and then they both accused each other of, you know, they both would say, well, I gave in on what he wanted, but he still won't do it. So you never really know, but I mean, I think one guy didn't want to fight because they were both going to make an insane amount of money, but Mayweather wouldn't give Pacquiao the same kind of split.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, Pacquiao was like, well, fuck, man, I'm as big of a name as you, you know, and
And I don't know.
Mayweather's like, well, you know what? Well, he. Well, I think he was for a little bit. I think Mayweather didn't fight as much.
Just because boxing has just been like so boring, you know, over the years.
And Mayweather didn't fight that often anymore. And Pacquiao was all over the place.
You know, actually, Mayweather kind of fought a boring fight, too, because he was playing that, you know, being, you know, coy and shit, you know, playing that fucking hiding out kind of shit. And then he'd fucking just win in the later rounds, you know. But that's kind of boring, too. You want to see people kick the shit out of each other. Yeah.
That's one of the reasons. Another reason why I think UFC type stuff. And I don't really follow UFC, although I was over at buddy's house. Like last week, or
it's very homoerotic, man. These guys are like fucking practically boning each other on the floor,
wearing almost nothing, and wrapping themselves up. But here's the thing is,
and you know what? If Matt Time Radio is listening, I'm just kidding. These guys can fucking kick the shit out of me.
They're in tremendous shape, but I mean, it's faster paced, shorter rounds. More engagement. Now, every once in a while, you will get a guy, you know, on top of another dude.
But they break it up, right?
But they'll usually break it up.
Okay, good.
Or, you know, even if not, it's one, you know, they don't have that many rounds. I'm not watching 80% of every round, these guys just standing, you know, just out of arm's reach from each other. There's usually contact, even if it's not, even if one guy is on top of each other. So I think, and then the biggest thing is that they make the big names fight each other. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, yeah, you lost, but you're one of the biggest names, and you know, you're now only two. If you win these next two fights, you're still going to get a chance at the title. And these guys can fight in a few months. So it's not like boxing where you go, oh, well, these are the two big names, but, you know, they're going to argue and they don't have to ever fight.
Right.
That, you know, which is, that's a big fucking problem. That and the fact that I don't understand the scoring system in boxing seems like such horseshit.
I know, right?
Give them a monitor. Let them all look at the same fucking thing, but don't give me.
It's like an electoral college, isn't it? Isn't it kind of like that? You're not counting the punches and the blows. You're counting like, oh, who do you think won that round?
Yeah.
And whoever wins that round gets 10 points and whoever lost the round gets 9.
Yeah.
Which is like, I don't know. Is that fair? Does that seem fair?
But you know, and here's the thing is, I would be fine with it if that's the system, and then you have people looking at the same shit. But I don't know if they're not sitting in the same place, but you look at rounds, you'd be like, how did two of you score 10-9 one way and the other one scored 10-8 the other way?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make any fucking sense. Or how did this, you know, are you not sitting next to each other? Let them look at the goddamn monitor. Watch the fight on TV so you can see better than if you're sitting at the ring and actually miss, you know, when a guy turns his body or something like that. I have a monitor or something, because if you watch a boxing match and it goes to the scorecard, do you have any faith at all? I mean, they may get it right, but are you confident they're going to get it right?
No, maybe that's what kind of makes it exciting too, because you never know, because like sometimes you think like a fighter definitely has it. Like, oh man, look at that guy, looks like shit. This guy's like pretty clean. He fought a good fight. And he's obviously going to lose, you know, this guy's going to lose, this guy's going to win. And then this, like, maybe some, like, judge, like, fucking just has, like, a vendetta against somebody, you know. And just like, you know, I don't even like the look on this guy's face, and I don't even
you
think
want more of that? You want more high school teenage girl in your fucking, in your sports? Like, oh, I don't like him. I don't like him at
all.
Well,
it's either that or guys boning each other on the floor, you know what I mean?
Well, that is a big difference.
Cool, man. Hey, so you know what? Let's play another couple songs. I'm having a great time and have another couple beers, and we'll be back with Ken August of the Weekly Wrap-Up on the More Music Radio Pod. All right, bye.
Hi, this is Jim Schrader. You're listening to the More Music Radio Program on skinbro.la.
Music Radio Pod at Skiro.LA. More Music Radio Pod.
Centerfold, the perfect 44 double D 2636. You're listening to the More Music Radio Pod on skidrow.la. Ha!
Yeah. Welcome back to the More Music Radio Pod. Happy Valentine's. Valentine's. There's some people that say Valentine's.
I like how you're able to get an M in there. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah. That's just the way we say it in our neighborhood. We say Valentine's Day.
Supposedly, it's Valentine's.
Yeah. Supposedly. Nice. Yeah. Probably.
Probably. I'm big
probably
on
probably. It is.
I'm big on probably.
Probably, supposedly, it is Valentine's Day tonight.
I get one B in probably. I do that. I'm big on that.
Yeah, and you know, I notice people, when you know how they go blah, 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 they go, oh, so I was saying this and blah, blah, blah. Some people say baba blah.
So, really?
They say baba blah. It bugs the hell out of me.
That would bug the shit out of me.
Yeah, well, because you're supposed to say blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
not baba blah.
Yeah, don't brush over shit incorrectly.
It irritates me. I don't like that. Yeah.
Baba blah. Yeah. Oh, that would piss me off.
You know, I was saying this and blah, 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 you know, whatever. They're just save
those. Are you
sure
they weren't just having a stroke? Is that possible?
Yeah, it's on TV, you can have a stroke in front of everybody and you just can't talk anymore.
Yeah, that is true. We
sometimes
didn't hear
it
that.
Sounds like I'm having a stroke on this show a lot of times.
You know? I think Mel Gibson tried that excuse after the first outburst. He went, no, I had a stroke. A stroke, it made me act anti-Semitic.
People still like him.
Yeah, but not nearly as many. I mean, now he does. And don't get me wrong, he doesn't have to work again, because when he made the Christ snuff film, whatever that thing was, he made a gazillion dollars. But I mean, nowadays, like 10 years ago, anything Mel was probably the biggest star in Hollywood. You know, I'm approximating 10 years ago. But whenever it was, you know, when you're on Lethal Weapon 3 or whatever and... You know, What Women Want and whatever else Mel wanted to do, Mel was doing.
Now, What Women Want. That's the one where he could read women's minds or something.
That was like, I was trying to think of like a love story.
I saw that and I grew a vagina when I saw that.
Yeah, it sometimes happens. It does.
He's such a hunk.
What's the other one where he's killing, what's the Irish one, the big one?
Oh, Braveheart.
Braveheart, yes.
He paints half his face blue.
Yeah, that was a big inspiration one. Now, I mean, he does those, and you're like, okay, biggest star in the world, and he's winning awards, and the audience loves him, and the women love him, and now he makes his own movies, and they go straight to DVD.
Yeah.
Or online, or on demand, or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, would you think that 10 years ago, Mel Gibson would have to produce his own movies and then send them straight to DVD?
Are they going straight to DVD now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he made some movie, and it was like, I forget what it was called. It's like Mel Gibson doesn't hate Jews. He called it or something. Like he was trying to change, but it was a Mel movie.
Yeah.
And I think he called it Mel Kampf, I believe was the name.
His dad is crazy too.
Oh yeah. Well, that's where he gets it. I mean, that's where
that's
he gets
where
some
everybody
of it.
Gets everything, right?
Dude, yeah. His dad is a big Holocaust denier. It's like no, all the Jews are hiding. That's quite a theory.
His name is Hutton. Hutton Gibson. Like, that's a crazy white name, right? Hutton?
That name's got crazy in it. Yeah, that's tough.
He's like, that's like a rich person or something, Hutton.
That is, yeah. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing is, what does Danny Glover think? Is Danny Glover like, man, I worked in like 75 fucking Lethal Weapon movies. I had no idea he hated
black
people.
You know what he's thinking? I'm too old for this
that's
shit.
That's exactly what he's thinking. Who is more known for being too old for this shit than Danny Glover?
Yeah, Murtaugh, I don't think, would appreciate the shit that he said.
No.
What did he say? He said that his wife, he was like berating his wife or something at the time.
He said, I hope you get raped
by a pack of N's.
Yeah, yeah. He threw the N-word out. You're like, okay, so you don't like Jews. He just likes white lesbian women.
Yeah, he's hanging out with Jodie Foster and stuff.
White lesbians. Nice. Is that a drink, white lesbian? I feel like that's a drink. Should be a drink. Fuck it, I'm making it a drink.
Hold on a second. Let's check out Mel Gibson's dad while we're talking about him. He's a trip. There's some fucking trippy people.
Yeah, I mean...
Is this shit on? You got it on?
When you go with, I don't believe the Holocaust, I mean, there's a lot of shit you do. You're waving off a lot of shit.
That shit is bullshit, man.
I mean, there's a lot of people that have to be in on that. Like, oh, man, my grandparents have been hiding for years. They go, I don't understand how that's happening.
Well, that's not playing. Probably don't even need to hear that bullshit anyway, fucking asshole. I don't know. What would you do if you ran into Mel Gibson? What would you tell him?
I don't. What are you going to say? What do you say? Here's the thing is, can you argue with crazy?
Yeah.
Can you argue with crazy? I mean, honestly, you probably just try to hurt the feelings more. You probably say something like, man, I used to like you.
Yeah.
Something like that. Because what else am I going to say that is going to be like, oh, yeah, no, you bring up a good point. Okay. You bring up a good point. Okay, go Jews. I mean, that's probably not going to happen. So.
Go Jews. That'd be cool if that's what he said. He becomes a cheerleader for the Jews. Like, I was just kidding, you know, go.
Well, they did that. Like, after he first got in trouble, they went with the, he's only been caught once, so we'll send him to, like, rehab. I like when people get caught saying shit that they meant.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we'll send him to rehab. They're right. PR
that
person.
Is stupid, yeah.
Yeah. We're going to send you to Don't Be a Douche Rehab.
You know what? One thing you got to say is that at least he didn't make some fucking phony fucking apology or fucking try to blame it on something else. You know, he's like, well, fuck, what can I say? I just won't say anything about it, you know?
Well, I mean, he did the, I'm going to meet with some rabbi a few times. And then he was like, all right, I'm good. He did. And then he's like, all right, I'm over it. I shook it off.
What rabbi?
Fucking, I don't know.
Is
Goldstein.
Like a super rabbi or something like that?
Yeah, he was the pray away the anti-Semitism rabbi. And he's the rabbi to the celebrities, I guess. I don't know who the fuck this guy was.
He gets a rabbi voucher.
he got Taft Hartley in. And he is now in the rabbi. He's in the rabbi union. And I don't know. I don't know who they got. They got a rabbi on call. I think maybe they got him off of Yelp. Mm-hmm. And then what's his name? Mel Gibson met with him a few times and declared himself non-hateful.
But you know what? Is it that crazy or is it kind of normal? Do you know people that are kind of like that have some kind of bigotry or something? Like?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, here's the thing.
And they're not necessarily like the worst people, but they're just like,
you
know.
That shit drives me nuts. I went to school in Ohio. Now, I mean, don't get me wrong. You don't have to go to Ohio to find, you know, idiots. But first of all, it shocks me. But, I mean, like, the level of stupidity to assume anybody based on color or religion or anything along those lines is now, if someone is preaching their religion to you and in that is a bunch of hateful shit, well, then, yeah, you can judge them on that. But most people will give you plenty of reasons to dislike them, but don't go in assuming based on this. So that shit always drives me nuts. And I was in Ohio when, you know, and I play hockey and I'd be hanging out with people and every once in a while you'd meet somebody there who you've known for a year and a half and all of a sudden they'll use the N-word as like a verb.
And it's like, whoa.
They'll use the N-word as a verb. I've had people sit next to me.
And they kind of elbow you like you're into it too. Like, well, hey, what do you think about that?
Well, here's even worse.
Oh, I don't know.
That's even worse. No, it's commonplace for them. It's a normal fucking verb. Yeah. And I've had people sit next to me. Now, technically, I'm Jewish. I'm not, I don't believe really in much organized religion at all. I don't trust it. Right. I don't think it makes sense. Mm-hmm. But...
So your mom was Jewish, right? Because that's how you... That's
right.
How you,
now, my whole family is Jewish, and okay. I think the upbringing was nice and all that stuff. But, you know, I mean...
Did you have a bar mitzvah, do the whole Jew?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You went full Jew.
That's not even close to full Jew. My sister, after she was already... I mean, we grew up, we went to Hebrew school, which is basically just, you know, 2 days a week after school until you're 13, you have your bar mitzvah, then I go to temple twice a year.
At least it's after school because...
It's not like your own school.
Catechism, it has to be like on Saturday. Just
no.
Like, again, you got to go to school on Saturday? No.
And I would have hockey practice on certain nights. So I would show up when I was younger. I would show up to Hebrew school in full hockey outfit, full hockey uniform because I was too kind of young and it would take me too long to do it. So my mom would make me do that. And I would sit there in this freaking Hebrew school class and I would get in trouble and they'd send me to the rabbi's office and he would be like, oh, you fuck around with me. And then he'd give me a piece of bazooka gum with a Hebrew comic right. And then send me back. He loved me. And then I would go and I'd be like, all right, well, I'm in hockey crib and I'm going to say I have to go to the bathroom and take 20 minutes because they would assume that's how long it would take me. And then that was it. But that shit's, you know, that's normal. And then after that, I would go to temple 2 weekends a year, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. That's it. Basically, the two high holidays, you go there for a handful of hours and they happen to be back-to-back weekends. Other than that, no, Hanukkah, that's not a big holiday. Passover is like a Jewish Thanksgiving. It's kind of fun, a lot of food.
Well, Hanukkah, you get 8 gifts.
Yeah, you get the presents. Uh-huh. You get the presents. Although we're Jewish, so they're cheap gifts. They're cheap gifts.
Oh, okay.
But still, it is, you know.
Like what kind of gifts? Like
no,
one
I mean,
sock? You get 4
and then the second
socks.
Night, you get another sock.
Yeah.
They match them. No, man, it was fun. I mean, when you're younger, you get the 8 gifts because when you're younger, it's easier to just get toys. Uh-huh. When you get older, you start to get older, it's like now you're getting clothes and you're getting things you need. Uh-huh. And you may be like, all right, well, you want that. That's expensive as shit. You want this, you know, CD player or whatever as you're getting older. And you're like, all right, we'll get you that. And then we'll just get you a bunch of little, you know, fun stuff. So you feel like you're opening
shit. That PS3 is a 5-nighter.
Yeah, exactly. So you'll be like, and that's for you, your brother, and your sister. You guys can all open that shit together.
Yeah.
And then look, here's your sock. You know, that's the other gift.
Yeah.
Cool upbringing, you know, cool tradition, not religious. My sister, after she got older, she's older than me. I'm the youngest of 3. She's mm-hmm. 6 years older than me. After she was out of college, she became Orthodox Jewish on her own.
Wow.
And I mean, and I'm talking.
Is that like with the sex through the sheet and all that stuff?
I don't know. There's no sex through the sheet, I don't think, although.
Let's dispel some of the Jewish myths. Like,
well, there
about
is
the
some kind of sheet thing. I don't know who does that because she's very Orthodox, but I don't think she has to do the sex through the sheet thing. But I mean, there is, like, I can't have meat and dairy on the same table. If she's in the place, you can't have shit
She'll
like that.
Freak out.
I mean, she's not going to fucking burst into flames and smack me with a pan. But I mean, she's
definitely going to make a remark.
Yeah, she'll remove that shit. Like, I mean, when she comes to visit my folks now, she's sweetheart, you know, love her to death. But like, if just because of the rules, when she comes, my folks' stuff isn't kosher. It's already had non-kosher shit on it, and. So she'll bring like a paper plate or my folks will have paper plates and they'll barbecue because the barbecue is still kosher because that's relatively new. But like, you know, the shit in the kitchen, we don't make kosher shit in there. So it's, you know, we're not that religious. So she can't eat shit off of there. So when she'll come, it's like, all right, well, we're going out or we're barbecuing because there's fucking rules. She has to be generally covered, not the beekeeper outfit. Like her face is fine, but she's got to wear like a long skirt down to the ankle.
Wow.
She can't wear jeans even. Even jeans are too, God don't like it.
Really? God doesn't like ankles?
God's not.
Why did he invent ankles then?
Well, otherwise your legs fall off. That is my guess. That's my guess.
Your just legs fall apart.
You're like, oh man, these things don't connect.
But that's weird though, isn't it? I mean, of course we want to respect everybody's religion here on the More Music Radio Pod. But
I love my sister to death. Whatever makes her happy, go for it.
Right.
Yes, it's weird.
Yeah, it is very weird.
Everything, well, first of all, to me personally, not just this one, the church, all of that shit, all of it, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. I think if you took, to me, if you took somebody who didn't know anything about any story at all, they didn't know any Bible story, they didn't know any religion story, they didn't know any of that shit, and then you gave them a bunch of books and said, hey, here are a bunch of fairy tales. The one where God went, hey, you know what? I'm going, everybody's pretty fucked up right now. So I'm going to have myself be born to a virgin as my own son, wait about 30 years, and then let him get tortured. And like, none of that shit makes any fucking sense. I'm like, yeah, I don't even,
weird.
Why would people be rewarded by torturing? None of that shit even makes any sense. And that's no crazier than the religion I fucking, I don't believe that any less than the shit I grew up being told. Like, I don't, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't believe that a magic guy did this and then went, you know what? You guys argue over me for a while. Maybe I'll be back. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Now, that being said, if God walks across the ocean and shows up tomorrow, I'll change my fucking mind.
Well, yeah, let's see it, right? Let's have it.
That's all I'm saying.
Talk to me or something.
That's all I'm saying, right? We learn more shit every day.
Don't try to have me figure out shit then notice everything like subtle and subliminal going on and to see your work. Like, come to me and say, I'm real. Like, zap me with a lightning.
Boom, I believe now. That's all I'm saying. Then I believe. Dude, you got hit by lightning right there. I'm like, you know what? This is a little fucked up. Yeah. My bad. Are we still on the air? Because my bad.
Yeah.
But
that'd be like, wow.
It doesn't, it doesn't make any sense. And I mean, and then when you see like church scandals, and you know what? It's not just the church. Like when my cantor, you know what a cantor is?
Yeah.
So the guy who
sings, right?
Yeah, he's the dude who sings. So when you're getting ready for your bar mitzvah, that like year, you know, you take extra lessons. So you go to the cantor and he basically gives you the songs and prayers you have to know. And he records it because it's in Hebrew and I don't know what the fuck he's saying. So you literally just memorize it. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying, but you memorize it in Hebrew and there's a bunch of it. And so you practice and you go. Turns out after I was already out of town and in college, he got fired or let go because he was getting a little too cozy with the little girls.
Oh, boy.
Now, he didn't apparently do anything too crazy, but enough where they fired him. But they couldn't legally say that's why they fired him. So they had to let him go, and then he went and did it somewhere else.
Wow.
Yeah, so I mean,
well, that's the same shit that happens in the Catholic Church, right? They ship them off to different things.
All over the fucking place. And
what
the Pope
is that about?
And the Pope knew it. The Pope knew it when he was a cardinal. Everything went through his right. I just had to read that shit when I was dealing with his resignation. When he was cardinal, Cardinal Ratzinger, and he was under John Paul.
When he was a Hitler Youth kid?
Somewhere between Hitler Youth and Pope.
Do you see what that guy looks like? He looks like a fucking evil fucking character, man.
Hard to believe that he is going back to his male modeling job. That is what shocked me. I think when he said he was resigning, I listened to it, and it was in Latin, so I wasn't sure, but I thought he said something about going on Dancing with the Stars. So that should be interesting. Look forward to that.
I heard he has like a special life assistant boy or something like that.
Yeah, that's what they call it. That is what they call it. It is, I mean, it blows my mind. That guy, when he was cardinal and he was in charge of all the disciplinary shit under John Paul being the Pope, every one of those molestation cases came to him. He put out a rule that said all that shit has to stay in-house secret until 10 years after the victim turns 18. That was his rule. And then he became Pope. You're like, that's a nice guy.
What a great dude.
Yeah, you're like, no, and I'm sure if there was a God, I'm sure God would be like, yeah, I'm going to let this guy represent me for a while, and I could do nothing I can do about it. I can't.
It's such fucking bullshit, right?
Doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, it's really hard.
It doesn't make any sense. Now, once again, if you get hit by lightning right now, that's a little fucked up. But
yeah, but you know what? I think other people should get hit by lightning first before me for fucking making a stupid joke. Like, how about people who try to cover up fucking kids getting molested?
Yes, exactly.
Let's strike them down. Like, if I see a bunch of like child molesters start getting hit by lightning, you know, like fucking 20 child molesters just got hit by lightning right now, I'd be like, there is a God. Yeah. Because he's fucking dealing with the people that deserve pain and misery and stuff.
Yeah, when people get away with bad shit, they don't blame God for that. Yeah. But when good shit happens, when that one guy in a town demolished by a fucking tornado, and he's like, thank God, God spared my house. He's like, well, God fucking hates your neighbors, dude. Your fucking neighbor's house is gone. What did he do?
Yeah.
You know, they blame him for the good shit. That's why there was one dude on the Buffalo Bills who I think two seasons ago, it was awesome. He's fucking, the Buffalo Bills, not a good football team. And they're playing like Pittsburgh or somebody. They're playing someone they should get killed to. And they go to overtime and the guy throws a bomb to this wide receiver. And it's a touchdown to win the game. And it slides right through his hands. And he fucking drops it.
Yeah.
And then they lose the game. And after the game, he tweeted blaming God. He tweeted, I praise you all the time, and this is how you repay me?
Fuck you.
It's fucking awesome, dude. It's like, you know what? Finally, somebody fucking credits God all the fucking time as if God has time to give a shit about the game, but he's letting kids get raped in fucking church.
There is no God, man. I fucking lost my game. I lost in the game.
Ray Lewis said God is on his side. God went, oh shit, maybe I should be. That guy's a little fucking scary. I ain't gonna go against him.
Well, you know what? I want to praise God right now with these these last couple songs. And we're gonna take a little break and we'll be back and wrap it up with Ken August on the More Music Radio Pod. All right, we'll be back.
Don't take this offensively.
The More Music Radio Pod.
Ooh.
Skid Row, LA.
Scott Rodarte from the band Olean, and you are listening to the More Music Radio Pod on fucking skidrow.la.
this is Whoopi Goldberg, and you're listening to More Music Radio Pod on skidrow.la.
We should do a remote broadcast at Venice Beach. Drum circle. Be the most annoying remote broadcast ever.
That is your fourth best idea ever. That is a great idea. I made a short film when I first came into town with a buddy of mine, and we used that as a soundtrack. We went and recorded like an hour worth of, I mean, more than we needed, because it's hard to leave. I don't know if you've ever been to the Venice Circle, the drum circle on Venice Beach, but The sun going down, everybody's kind of backlit, so it's just like you're just looking at silhouettes of people kind of dancing, this kind of tribal beat, and a bunch of people, you know, ranging from people that look like bankers to tourists to people that look like they just came out of the woods or the other side of Gilligan's Island. And they're all just jamming on these drums and sticks and dancing around. It's pretty awesome looking.
Well, that's cool.
And we use that as the soundtrack.
You get really high, though, right?
Yeah. Well, no, not, no.
It helps a lot, right?
Well, yes, no.
It usually helps with a lot of stuff.
It does with a drum circle. You know what? To be honest with you, I was so high, I'm not really positive there were drums there, but it felt like a drum circle. It felt drum circle-y. I might have been by myself.
Yeah. Well, of course, we don't do that because marijuana is illegal, but it is, however, decriminalized in California. What are your thoughts about it being decriminalized?
I think it should be decriminalized everywhere. It should be taxed. Right. You can make a ridiculous amount of money off of it. I think anything taken to an extreme is unhealthy, but it is going to cause less damage than alcohol for the most part.
Oh, yeah, of course, right?
But, you know, people don't tend to believe that. I know of some very, very, very logical people who live on the other coast who basically in their minds, they go, well, no, that's why pot is illegal and alcohol is legal and pot is illegal. And I say, well, but that's really, you think that plays a role? Like, what about prohibition? Did alcohol get less good for you and then better for you again?
Yeah.
You know, that's usually when I get told to shut up.
Well, there are people that are still afraid of marijuana, though. You know what I mean? They're like, they think it's a deviant kind of thing, you know, because they never tried it. One of these days, I'm going to try marijuana. It's going to be so much fun, I think.
Hey, when you try it, tell me how it turns out.
Okay, cool. Yeah, don't be scared. I'll be the guinea pig for you. I'll let you know.
Please let me know.
Hey, is today that day?
I don't know.
Today is not that day.
Is that true? I feel like today could be that day.
I'm just going to have 10 more beers and maybe I'll catch some kind of a buzz, you know?
That's good. I heard no weed for you. You're mostly a heroin guy. That is nice. Don't do anything more.
There was one episode of the More Music Radio Pod where I did portray a character of a cocaine addict and an alcoholic.
Is this true?
This is true.
I was very afraid of that guy.
And it was cool.
You portrayed a guy.
Yes, I was.
How much method acting did you do? Did you do enough method acting where there was actual cocaine involved?
Let's just say that I had Vic Cohen fucking freaked out.
Oh, really?
And he thought I was the most fucking craziest fucking person.
And Vic Cohen is crazy.
He's crazy, yes, he is. But he's very afraid of drugs.
That is true,
He's very afraid of it.
He has sat next to me when... He has sat next to me when one of us has been very, very high. Yeah. And he seemed uncomfortable with it.
We're talking about Vic Cohen of Vic Cohen's It's a Fair Question.
Very funny man.
Let's give him a plug.
He is a very, very funny man, but yes, now he is also a clean, not necessarily comically, but clean as far as drugs and alcohol.
He's afraid of alcohol and drugs, so I played a prank on him like... And
you knew this in advance?
I knew it in advance, and I got fake cocaine. I had like a fake bottle of whiskey. I had just iced tea in it, and I was slamming it. I drank a whole bottle of whiskey in front of him. Then I busted out the coke. It was baking powder. And I did cocaine in front of him. He's like, wow, I never saw anybody do cocaine.
Did you actually snort baking powder?
I snorted baking powder.
Does that hurt?
You know what?
I'm not a cocaine guy. I've never snorted anything.
It's an ingredient in cocaine. And I might have tried that once in a while, you know, whatever.
Baking powder? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, baking powder.
Do you open your fridge and just see a big box of cocaine in your fucking side door of the fridge, or is that always baking powder?
Coke is not like my thing, you know what I mean? Like if I were going to do drugs, I would try marijuana. But, you know, it's just like not my thing, you know. But I figured, you know, if somebody could try cocaine and baking soda is an ingredient in cocaine, like, why not just do a little bit of baking soda? It's not going to hurt you. You know?
I don't. Oh, well, I don't know. I'm not, like, so I said, I don't snort soda. I don't really know what the hell that would do. I don't know what the, I honestly don't. That is not.
It's crazy.
Marijuana, love it, should be legal.
Yeah.
I'm not a snort guy.
You should try marijuana one day.
I tell you, when I was waiting for marijuana, I will definitely try one day, that one day being several years ago. and that should be legal. And I tell you this, when I was waiting for shoulder surgery, and I can put S's on that because I've had them both now surgically repaired, I was on Vicodin because I have Kaiser as insurance.
Oh, which
means,
I had that.
Which means it is a long process between discovering what is wrong and getting it fixed.
Oh,
they're
really?
Like, oh, well, what's wrong with you? Well, we'll take 9 months to figure it out, and then we'll set you up with an MRI, and then we got to give you the wrong diagnosis.
That's when you go in with the bad faith comment. You go, oh, well, you know, I've been paying. I mean, I feel like you guys are acting in bad faith, you know.
Oh, that's a good
they
comment.
They get scared of that.
That's
they don't
good.
Like that. Bad faith lawsuits will bring a whole company down.
That's so much better than me telling them they fucking blow, which is the technique I went with, and that didn't get me very far. But it did get me about 9 to 12 months of Vicodin. And that was an interesting year from what I can remember. And I remember a few days of it. It was a good, I don't know. Have you ever had that?
Oh man, there was one time, and I know we're at the end, but I had foot surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I had like some kind of cyst removed, and they gave me Vicodin for the pain. And it was also around my birthday time.
Was it that painful, really?
You know, it was painful and it did help, but this is what I did. I had the Vicodin pills and it was my birthday, and my friend Patrick Jones of the Mormons gave me a bottle of Parrot Bay coconut rum.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, I'll take 3 of these pills and drink coconut rum at the same time.
Yes,
and that was on a Thursday. When I went to work that following Monday, I was like strung out on opiates. You know,
you took 3 at once.
I took 3 at a time. I drank the whole bottle in the weekend.
See,
which
was
supposed
to
last me for like a couple weeks. Or
3 at once just seems a little excessive. I was
20 something.
By 9 months into the Vicodin, I was having 2 and drinking. But the thing was, is I was having 2 and then I would have like 2 beers and you're like, I would cruise. And I tell you what, I was a great pool player on Vicodin. My buddy hated me during shoulder surgery because, first of all, as long as I can get the arm extended enough to get to actually shoot, the Vicodin kicked in, things were fucking, I was in fuego. I was nice.
Oh, man.
And then you have that extra beer, and then it's like I've never played the game ever, ever. But that was a nice little ride, but that stuff is dangerous, tough to get off.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I don't really like pills, you know, whatever. No.
I mean, it wasn't really tough to get off because they stopped giving them to me, but yeah. I'm saying you're used to them. You're like, yeah. Holy shit, I'm taking 2 of these when I used to have to take a half.
Yeah, the DTs are pretty hard on that, right?
Yeah, well, that is, yes, it is not good.
The feeling of coming off of opiates is pretty hard, you know?
It is. You know, I woke up 4 or 5 times in an alley with a homeless man, but, you know, that happened anyway.
Druggies.
Hey, these were given to me by a doctor. I think he was a doctor. He had a white coat. I know that. I think he was a doctor.
Cool. Well, hey, you know what? Thank you very much for being on the show. I really appreciate it, man. It's been a lot of fun. This is the end of the show. I don't know. I mean, did we go over? I mean, how many minutes are we right now, man?
We're at 1 hour and 58 minutes.
Oh, perfect.
We're at the 2 hour mark.
Nick, right now is like, oh shit, I forgot to hit record. You're at 4 minutes.
Hey, we've got about 30 seconds I've recorded. Is that cool?
Yeah, cool, man. Cool.
Hey, this was a lot of fun, man. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you very much for coming down. Please come down anytime. Everybody, you've been listening to Ken August. You can listen to him on Saturdays, right? What time, Ken? On
Saturdays at 6 o'clock Pacific time, 9 o'clock East Coast time, and then on Sirius, you like me to call it, Extreme XM 165, Sundays at 10 o'clock Eastern and 7 o'clock Pacific.
Hell yeah, man. I'm going to be listening, and I want everybody out there to listen. And listen to the More Music Radio Pod every Thursday at 10 p.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. Eastern. On SkidRowStudios.com. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Gus. And thank you to my lovely girlfriend for my Valentine's Day gifts. Thank you.
Happy Valentine's Day.
See you next week. Bye-bye.